Once. When I was little, someone pointed out to me some constellations, but the Big Dipper's all I could see. That brontosaurus must have stood up.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Episode number 6 of This is the Place podcast. I'm Cody. This is Blake.
Hello.
We're going to try to do something new today. We'll get to that in a minute, but bear with us. First order of business, and the question everybody wants to know first and foremost is, what are we drinking tonight?
We're drinking a bunch of beers from the Uinta Brewery, a local brewery here. In Utah.
Yeah, we got the Uinta Mixer Pack, which comes with three different types of their beers. These are beers we've had before, so this isn't like a virgin testing like we've had in the past couple episodes, but it's something that needed to happen. We needed to get some local love up in this motherfucker,
I believe
this is a perfect opportunity to do it.
I believe that every one of the beers in this is one of their organic beers. They even say USDA organic on the side of them. The first one we're going to start out with is their wild beer, WYLD, Extra Pale Ale. And let's give that a taste.
Yeah, it's got a little tent on the front. It's kind of cute. Good. Good hoppy beer.
It is. And actually, for a pale ale, this is probably one of the better ones for me. I don't like a lot of the like IPAs. I'll drink any beer. Don't get me wrong. You hand me a beer, I'll fucking
sure.
drink it.
Yeah.
But the super hoppy beers aren't my favorite, but they're still good.
Yeah, it's a good
and this
good
one
sessionable beer. You can drink a few, you know, without getting all bloaty. It's good. I've fucking great flavor. Smooth. Yeah, I'm
it's very
fan.
Smooth for a pale ale.
Yeah, I'm a
I would
big fan.
Have to say.
So well, yeah, we'll be getting to the other ones in this specific pack we got tonight. We've got the wild extra pale ale, the Baja Black Lager, and the what's the other one?
The Hive,
the honey ale, I think is what it is.
Which I haven't tried that one, so that will be kind of a version testing.
All
I
right.
don't normally like any kind of beer with a flavoring to it. So I guess I misspoke earlier. If you hand me a beer that is flavored, I'll probably turn you down. I'd be like, just give me something else.
That depends on if there's something else there. If there's, yeah. not, if there's no other option, it's probably going to get drink.
I'm not too into flavored beers, but
yeah.
we'll check that one out later.
Yeah, and it's not really, it's not like flavored per se. It's just part of the, yeah, anyway, it's good. We'll get to that.
So, before that, we did hear a little bit of Built to Spill. The song was called Big Dipper off their Nothing Wrong with Love album. I got to say, Built to Spill, a fucking amazing band.
It's a great band.
They've got like 9,000 records. Mm-hmm. So
and there's not a bad one in the bunch.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong.
You could pick up anything from them if you're into picking up new tunes at all. And I promise you, you're not going to be disappointed. I don't know. If you liked that last song, that's a pretty good, you know, little tidbit of what they might sound like.
Yeah, it's
like.
A good soundbite, good way to get in. Yeah, they're just, it's an indie rock band from Idaho. They're really good. If you haven't heard from them by now, I don't know what's wrong with you. But they're fucking awesome.
We say that a lot.
They
tour
a lot.
If you haven't heard of the stuff that we're into,
yeah.
where the fuck have you been, dude?
Yeah, we're gonna get all shitty about it. No, they're a really good band. They tour a lot. They play live a lot. They're a really fun band to see live too. The lead singer, Doug Marsh, is into a lot of different kinds of music, and one of the main staples they have in a lot of their shows is they do like crazy covers. They cover crazy songs.
One of the best covers I ever saw was them doing Mr. Crowley.
Yeah, they played Red Fest, which was a festival at the University of Utah like 10 years ago at least. And they did Mr. Crowley, and they also did that Macy Gray song.
Oh, yeah.
That Macy Gray song, which was fucking pretty awesome, too. But
so
they, yeah.
Way to make a shitty song awesome, have Built to Spill cover it.
Yeah, they do a lot of awesome covers. They have a live album where they cover Cortez the Killer by Neil Young, do like a really long, like 20-minute, super jammed out, like Live Rust style version of that. And
they
also cover,
they are kind of a jammy band. I mean, even that song is a very poppy song, but it was like 4 minutes long or longer. I remember the exact time.
Yeah,
but
and they took a couple minutes out of that time to jam out a little bit.
Right, and that's kind of something that they'll do. The last
that's
song
fun.
We play from at the end of the podcast tonight is like a 6-7 minute song. And you should stick around for the whole thing because it's one of my favorite songs
yeah,
they do.
It's a fucking good jam.
So let's get on to our first segment, which is, you know, if you guys listen, you know that we always do some crazy news stories. This one, I don't know, you didn't go to the Huffington for this one, did you?
No. This is a slightly altered news section. We're not going to be reading news. We're just going to kind of discuss two hot topics in the news lately, just because like the news stories, they kind of speak for themselves. There's not really a lot more to it. And I just kind of want to see like it, you know, Blake's take on it and kind of share my opinions on it. So the first one is about the guy in Florida whose bedroom was swallowed by a sinkhole.
This is like the weirdest thing that could possibly fucking happen to somebody. Like you would never think, I don't know, for some reason it seems like a sinkhole isn't something that still happens. It's like quicksand. You know, like, quicksand doesn't exist.
Haven't we found out all the quicksand in the world and told people how to avoid it at this point? Like,
apparently, people build houses on top of sinkholes, and it fucking completely gobbles up their house.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I think, like, a big reason I didn't want to go into, like, the news stories is because this is kind of a current news story that there's, like, new news coming up all the time. So I don't want to be, like, behind the times by the time you hear it. I just want to get, like, our initial impressions of just what happened in general and how fucking crazy it is, because I had the same thing. I was like, what do you mean this guy bedroom got swallowed up by a sinkhole in Florida? How does that fucking happen?
All right, so give us the summed up version of what happened, because you read the story. I haven't read it.
Yeah, exactly, basically, this guy was living in this house, and his family was there, and they heard this big, huge crash. They said it sounded like a car crash, and his brother went into the room, and fucking everything in the guy's room was gone, and there was a huge hole in the ground. And I guess all that was sticking up was, like, a corner of his mattress or something weird. And so the brother actually went into the hole to try to find his brother, couldn't find him, and so they had to call the fire department to come and help get the brother out. And I guess they couldn't find his other brother, and as of today, they'd called off the search. They sent in some, like, equipment that's supposed to, like, search for signs of life, and they said there's no signs of life, so they're pretty sure the fucking guy's dead, which is insane.
Maybe
it's so
he
weird.
Snuck out of his window. How old was this guy?
I think he was in his 30s. I don't remember exactly.
So
I'm sorry.
He could have left if he wanted to.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, like, that's one of my first thoughts was, like, maybe the dude just wasn't fucking in there. Like, what's to make them think that he's... Maybe he just, like, faked his own death, and, like, that was his, like, clever ruse was to like, fake
to
his own death.
To make a sinkhole?
But they said when they found out that they found the sinkhole, they went down there, and they said the sinkhole was, like, way bigger than what was, like, showing. Like, I guess it's, like, a big cavern under the ground. And they said that this family's whole house is going to be probably swallowed up by the sinkhole.
Wouldn't you think that they would know that when, like, the engineers came out and the architects and were like, okay, we're going to build this fucking house right here.
You would think
so. And they, like, dig out the ground and they put the foundation. There was nothing that showed them that there was, like, this big freaking hole in the ground.
I don't know, man. And this is the thing. I mean,
it's weird shit.
Obviously, we live in the mountains, so there's not a lot of, I mean, we live in the fucking mountains. But I think, like, in Florida, I mean, you're really close to the water, so there's probably pockets of water under the ground, and I don't know if it was, like, that kind of situation, like an underground aquifer, or, I mean, those are everywhere. We live in the mountains. We still have those. But, I mean, I don't know if that's more prevalent or if that had something to do with it, so it's, like, nothing you could have found out. And I don't know if they, like, dig foundations or if everything's just, like, slab on concrete or how that shit works. I don't know.
Probably
so,
the
like,
same thing, like... They probably don't have, like, basements in their houses because they're so close to the ocean.
Yeah, and
like, you don't want to flood your house.
Yeah, there's probably just, like, a minimum level of, like, how compacted the dirt has to be for you to, like, pour a slab on it, or I don't know. It's
well,
the
crazy
fucking,
part is that it's, like, it's just his room. Like, how fucking unlucky,
weird,
dude. You're, like, taking a nap, and then you fucking wake up dead in a sinkhole.
Yeah.
And, like, that it could... I can't imagine opening the door. It's like a fucking movie. Like, that didn't happen.
Yeah, it's like something out of Ghostbusters. Like, you open the door and all of a sudden, like, Zool is there with, like, the gates of hell and the fucking Cerebus or whatever, like, with him. Like, it's fucking weird shit. Super weird. So, yeah, sinkholes in Florida. No one's immune.
That's a fucking crazy story, dude.
Yeah, and then the other one I wanted to talk about was the Miss Teen Delaware porn controversy, which I think is super funny. Basically, Miss Teen Delaware had her crown taken away after someone came out and kind of outed her as doing one of those skeezy fucking hotel pornos. I guess she denied it, but it's fucking totally her. You can watch part of the video online. I only saw a little bit of the clip of her, like, doing the interview. It's fucking totally that girl. And they even mention in the interview that she's a Miss Teen something.
Yeah, and they put a picture of her face from the pageant next to the picture of her in the porno right next to each other. And it's like, how is that not you?
Yeah, how like, totally. Like
she denied. She's like, that's not me. Like,
yeah, it
is.
It's fucking weird as shit.
And
it's
in
so
the
funny.
Interview, she even says, they're like, so what do you do? And she's like, I do beauty pageants.
Yeah. And the guy says back to her, you're Miss Teen something, and they're like trying to be coy about it, but like by saying that, there's only Miss Teen of like 50 states. maybe Puerto Rico, maybe Washington, D.C. So at the very
one of 50.
There's 52. Yeah. It's not hard to fucking narrow down which one this girl is. It gets pretty simple. So she fucking is not very smart. And she even admits, she's like, she did porn because she was bored and she wanted money.
She's like, I just needed the money.
That's fucking retarded. Like, how... Everything gets on the internet. Just so you know, guys and gals, if you fuck and you record it on film, there's a 99% chance it's going to find its way to the internet. And there's a 100% chance that once it does, someone you know is going to find it.
Yeah. Especially if you have any kind of fame at all, like a Miss Teen America. Guess what? Yeah. Like, people are fucking looking at that
people
shit.
People know you. People will fucking find that shit. Yeah.
Like, if I were to make a porno movie today and put it out there, probably nobody I know would figure it out because nobody's ever going to say, oh, that fucking, nobody Blake.
I don't know. If you tell them, like, where you work, they might, somebody, I mean, yeah, it's fucking weird, man.
But the fact that she's, like, a celebrity, at least in her, well, I guess.
She's a celebrity.
Yeah. I mean, she's kind of a celebrity.
She's not fucking Angelina Jolie.
She's definitely a celebrity now. Maybe that's really the whole point of this was,
she wanted to get famous.
Take my crown, but guess what? Now I'm the girl that got her crown taken away
for
making a porno.
Yeah, she got offered like $250,000 to be like some porn site's Miss fucking porn site or whatever. Like,
yeah, so she's going to end
up. She's not hurting.
And if she's willing to do it once, what's the, you know.
Yeah, what's to stop her from doing it again? Yeah, you've already done it once, like. Just fucking make a living of it, I guess, if you're into that sort of thing.
If you're that kind of a sleazy bitch.
Yeah. If you're into fucking sex with skeezy dudes in hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Fucking weird.
Like the pretend, yeah, we just met today on the street. Yeah. And we're going to go back to my hotel room and have some sex.
Yeah,
we're
going to
get a quick interview real quick. take your groceries home and then we'll go back to my hotel room and have some sex.
Yeah, so fucking a couple weird news stories that are very current, very recent, ones that I felt like wouldn't be served. They're big enough profile stories that I don't feel like just reading the short, like, Wikipedia or Huffington Post thing would have done it, but I wanted to get a discussion going on because they're both so fucking crazy. Like, that is some weird, weird shit.
Now, the only thing that would have made either of those stories better is if the first story...
The guy was jacking off to the
porno. Well, no,
the girl.
The story rolls out like this. Miss Teen America, who did a porno and had her crown taken away, was lost in a sinkhole in Florida.
If we could just perfectly meld those two stories. Yeah. I think we should fucking make it a Law and Order episode.
What we should do is start reading The Onion as our new stories.
Yeah. We could totally do that.
What we should do is throw in two real news stories and one from The Onion and see if people can figure out which ones.
That's actually
which
really,
ones.
That's a really good idea. That's going to happen.
Because, seriously,
look out for that
I would, like, from one of our earlier episodes, no way would I have thought some redneck shot his niece because she looked like a skunk in the middle of the yard.
Totally.
Like, that's The Onion one, dude.
Yeah.
Easy.
Oh, yeah.
Nope,
duh.
Sorry, you're wrong. That happened. All right. New segment, just born.
Truth is stranger than fiction. Check it out on number 7. That's going to happen. A couple more points of business. We have a real live official logo, courtesy of Chris Bodily. We kind of teased it on the last one, but we've got it. It's fucking real. It's live. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, you should check that shit out.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, you've probably seen it because I don't think you can get around it. We're pretty into self-promotion. So, but check it out. Like, just give us a comment. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know what you think of it because I'm sure that Chris himself would like to know what you guys think of his artwork, and it's pretty indicative of what his art is like. And the whole reason that we decided to go with him to do the logo is because we knew that he would be able to do his style of caricature of both of us, and it would turn out as amazing as it did.
Yeah, it's
and it blew us
rad.
Away. It's fucking awesome.
So yeah, so check out. Check it out for us. Let us know what you think. You can check out Chris Bodily at hatrobot.com and
or,
on Facebook.
Yeah. On Facebook.
I think he's. You can link to him through our pages.
Why don't you let everybody know kind of the idea behind the logo? Because there's you had a very specific thing that you wanted done.
Yeah.
And because it does kind of display a little bit of our Utah flair, which is we're going to try and get more and more into as we keep doing the podcast.
Yeah, so the design of the logo is basically it's kind of a take on the seal, the official seal for the state of Utah, which is the actual seal itself, the only difference, the only major difference is rather than two handsome, strapping, young, bearded men, is there's just a couple of flags on the side. But it's the same kind of idea. There's an eagle on top, a beehive, some flowers. I don't know what kind of flowers. Are they lilies?
I'm sure they're sago lilies.
Sago lilies,
that's
yeah, sago lilies.
I think that's our state flower.
Yeah, I think you're right. And some bees, because we're the beehive state. Anyway, and then we just put our handsome mugs on there, dressed in pioneer outfits.
On a field of blue.
On a field, of, like, yeah. A field of blue. And then I threw on my Utes cap for a little bit of levity.
And just so you know, Cody is almost always wearing a Utes cap like that, so it is pretty fitting.
I tried to
is
get
that or as, a Boston Red Sox hat?
I tried
hat.
To get as accurate as possible from the neck up. You from the next down, that's all Mormon pioneers.
I don't know if you guys know this, but Cody has like the most random like a range of fucking sports teams that he follows.
I really do.
He's like the Utes, and then like what, like the Celtics.
Yeah, I like
and
the Jazz.
Then, yeah,
I grew up
jazz.
Liking the Celtics, but I like the Jazz a lot.
And then the Boston Red Sox, and then the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, the
and
Red
football.
Sox, the Lions.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I just like sports, and I have favorite teams in every sport. But there's a lot of teams that I like and root for. Like, I'm a Blackhawks fan in hockey.
Sure.
RSL fan in soccer and Chelsea. So yeah, I do have pretty weird tastes in sports teams. But
we've thought about.
I'm
before...
very very into my sports teams. So.
Yeah. Cody loves the sports.
We'll take that shit lightly.
We've wanted to do something with sports on the podcast, but we've been having a hard time figuring out a way to make it relevant as we podcast, because sports kind of, once they've happened, they're in the past at that point. I don't know.
Yeah,
what
you
more
might
we
be
could
sick
really
of hearing
about.
It or whatever, but
so like, I don't know if you guys have any comments on or ideas on what we can do about sports that you might be interested in. Give us a shout out on the Facebook.
Yeah, because we're not opposed. It's just like with the first few episodes, we were kind of lag on how long it took us from recording to posting them online. But now that we're fully live, we're rocking and rolling. We're going to probably try to dive into sports a little bit more.
Because now we can podcast and post it the next day, pretty much.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a slow time in sports anyway. I mean, football's over. Basketball isn't quite the playoffs yet, so nobody really fucking cares. The tournament, the NCAA college basketball tournament, starts in a couple weeks, so there'll probably be a little talk about that ramping up to it. Soccer's just getting ready to kick off. Well, the MLS season anyway. European football has been rolling around for a while. Baseball spring training just started, so we'll probably start getting into a little bit more often, just to kind of if there's interesting stories that
we
come
should
up
only or, talk about Aussie rules football.
I that would be fucking awesome. That shit is fantastic.
Yeah, me and Cody love that shit. Whenever
really
I
do.
See it on TV, I will definitely
oh, you
watch
gotta
that
stop.
Game.
9.2, I think, is what
I don't even give
on.
A shit who's playing because I don't know any of the teams. Yeah. Really, it's just like oh
or the,
yeah,
or half
Aussie
the
rules
man.
For that matter. So if you guys are into that, you should. I didn't even know where to find
I
that
I think it's
shit.
On KUED, channel 9, like 9.2 or something. It's on, we both have DirecTV, and I think it's in like the higher channels, but I'm sure you can find it. Just do the old search for it.
The old searcheroo.
The old searcheroo. Also, we are dying to hear what you guys think of the podcast in general. If you like it, let us know and tell your friends. If you don't like it, just let us know. But don't tell your friends you don't like it. Just let us know, like, what parts you like, what parts you don't like, what works, what doesn't work, because we want to just continue to make it better, and we're trying new things, and we're trying to keep you guys interested, and we're trying to just make it a more interactive experience, because I know we've had people listen to it that we don't know about yet, and we just love to hear from you guys. I mean, even if it's just something as simple as checked out number 5, it was cool, but if you could give us more in-depth constructive criticism, we would love to hear it. If you want to just tell us we're a couple fucking knuckleheads and we should hang it up, let us know that too. But like I said, don't tell your friends, just tell us. We just really need to know
online.
Yeah, we just need to
for
know
everybody to read
what you like, what works better, and what we can do to keep you interested and to make it more interesting every time we do it. We've gotten a little bit of feedback from some people, and it's great, and I always love to hear it, and I just hope we can get more of you involved. And If it means cash
episode,
prizes, we might do that.
Yeah, this episode's a little bit different. We're just kind of flying off the seat of our pants here. We just we kind of decided a couple days ago just to do it today, and we're not really following the exact same schedule as we normally do, so we're not going to do any movie reviews or anything like that.
Yeah, we're throwing you guys curveballs and ourselves curveballs.
So what we're going to do tonight, and actually we haven't started playing yet, but in a little bit here, we're going to start just playing some Mike Tyson's Punch-Out while we keep podcasting, and that's going to kind of be our retro video game review, which will be kind of a reoccurring segment that I want to do because, like I've said in the first podcast, I just love retro, especially the old NES video game system, and we'll just keep going through a bunch of those and playing them and let you know what games suck, what games are cool, and pretty much just let you know that you should buy an old Nintendo and buy some fucking games and play it. Or, if you want, which this is something that I did recently, I have an iPad, and, you know, most Americans do now, I think.
I don't
like
have one.
90% or something.
Yeah, I'm part of the
it's 10%. Like, everywhere I go, I see, like, yeah. Everybody's walking around. People have some sort of tablet device. I don't know if this works for, like...
The guy in Die Hard had an iPad to tell him whether or not there was contaminated air.
Yeah, he had a fucking iPad Geiger counter app. It was awesome.
Jesus.
This is the new Die Hard.
Yeah.
So what I did is I jailbroke my iPad so that I could download, if you don't know what jailbreaking is, you can so that you don't have to go just to the Apple or iTunes store to buy your apps and your all whatever you want, you can jailbreak it so that you can pretty much get whatever you want. And one of the things that I wanted on the iPad and the Apple store and Apple doesn't allow is a simulator or for like
an
old
emulator.
NES game, an emulator, right? And so I jailbroke it. I got the emulator for the NES, and then you can get another app on there that is like a GPS that will allow you to turn the Bluetooth off on your iPad and use this the GPS Bluetooth to run your Wiimote to play the game. So you don't have to use the touchscreen. You can actually use a controller to play.
So you have A and B and select and start and all that
and,
shit.
And the D-pad.
Mm-hmm.
And the list of games on this emulator go for fucking ever.
Like asinine.
Any Nintendo game that you can think of. And the app is NES ADX Plus. And when you jailbreak it, you automatically get like a new app store called Cydia, C-Y-D-I-A. And then you can get a whole bunch of different shit from there. You just basically do like a search on it. The NES ADX, I would say there's a good like 1200 games just for it's all for free. It's fucking amazing
for free.
And I love the old Nintendo, and I'm going through it, and there's like hundreds of games I've never even heard of.
Yeah.
And so it's gonna be a while before I even get through this list, and like we'll try and maybe do some reviews on some of these games. One of the ones that me and Cody were looking at the other day was, I don't know if you've ever played Battletoads or Double Dragon, but there is a Battletoads Double Dragon game, and they meld the two games into one.
Yeah, it's like the Battletoads characters playing Double Dragon-style levels.
Yeah, you can either choose the Double Dragon guys or the Battletoads guys, and then as you go through, like, the first level is a Battletoads level, and the second level is a Double Dragon level, and you have to, like, fight all the different characters from those games. And I think we'll have to do a review of that, because it was
pretty fucking cool. It was way cool.
It was as good as Double Dragon and better than the original Battletoads game. Me and Cody tried to do a review on Battletoads, and we were like, holy shit.
Fuck,
we got to, like, the
bikes.
Second game, or the second level, and we're like,
As soon as you get on those goddamn fucking speeding troll bike things,
it's fucking hard.
Fucking sucks.
And the Battletoads Double Dragon has the speeder board as well.
Yeah,
that
game was really fun until you got to that point, too. So just, those things can just go fuck themselves. But yeah, it's rad, and I can't wait to check it out. I literally only watched Blake play it, so I can't wait to get my hands a little
dirty. Yeah, I mean, I was just so surprised that you could link up your Wiimote to the iPad and fucking play it. Because, like, how awesome is that? I can play Nintendo games on the fly with a remote. The only bad thing that I found so far with it is the A button on the Wiimote. If you hit that, it will save your game at the current progress, which is cool because you can save any game in the middle, unlike the real Nintendo where if you fucking stop in the middle of a game and turn it off, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah.
This, you can actually save your progress throughout. But the problem is, if you're playing through the game and you've gone like 20 minutes past where you saved it last and you hit the trigger button on the bottom, it automatically reverts you back
to the last
to where
point.
You saved last. So it can really fuck you. And it's kind of hard when you're playing video game, like Nintendo games, because, you know, I mean, I'm a little bit animated when I'm playing my Nintendo games and like getting pissed off. Yeah. And yeah, and it's just not cool when you hit that button and you're like, oh,
does that thing have 10-yard
fight? I didn't fucking save it. Yeah.
Awesome.
It has all the old.
Does it have like? Does it have the sounds? Like,
uh-huh.
Can you play like the?
Awesome. The sound lags a little bit
awesome.
At first. Like when you first turn one of the games on, it'll start playing the music, and then it'll like the game will keep playing, but the music will like pause for a minute.
Right.
And then it will like catch back up and then play for a while. And I think it's just the music is a little bit choppy, but for something that was completely free to me, and I can play any Nintendo game I want. A little bit of audio fuck up is worth it to me, you know.
Totally.
So
totally.
I would. That's my review on jailbreaking your iPad and making it an awesome NES emulator. I would suggest highly doing that.
To think of all the money you'd save from not having to buy all those fucking Nintendo games too, because them shits ain't cheap.
Yeah, but I still kind of want them all.
Well, I just mean people in general.
Right. Yeah, people in general. Like, if you're not a crazy dork like me and trying to collect every Nintendo game ever made. And I'm not. I'm maybe like.
I'm looking at a stack. There's
a
couple hundred there.
Of way.
There's a couple hundred. It's a solid collection. So, good work. So what's our next jam?
Let's go ahead with another from Built to Spill, and the next song is called The Plan, from their album Keep It Like a Secret. And yeah, this is a fucking awesome song too. One of mine and Cody's favorites. So check this song out, and we'll be back in just a minute. Enjoy.
We'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back. That was The Plan from Built to Spill, which I think was a pretty appropriate song for us today since we kind of scrapped our regular plans and are trying some new shit.
Yeah.
So get into it.
That was a fucking another great song by Built to Spill. As you can tell, the recurring theme that they have is they like to do like verse, chorus, jam out sesh for fucking ever, and then a chorus and then end is kind of what their deal is.
And it works, like. Man. It's been working for 20 years almost.
So hopefully you like that song.
Maybe
we certainly
more, actually.
Did.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Jam.
And right after that song, we just popped brand new beers. This one is the Hive, H-Y-V-E, Organic Honey Ale. And I haven't even tasted it yet, so.
It's good.
It just smells like beer.
Yeah, so it's not really honey sweet or anything like that. Nothing crazy. I like it a lot. It's really easy drinking. It's a smooth beer.
Actually, that's really fucking good.
Yeah. It's.
I was
kind of
expecting
ale.
It to be a little bit more
honey
sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not really that sweet. It's
because they do like an apricot one and a pumpkin one, don't they? They do pumpkin.
They do pumpkin. I don't know that they do an apricot. I think that's the other guys.
Yeah, but Squatters the apricot. Not so much my friend.
Yeah. So Blake's got a new segment he wants to kick off, and while that goes down, I'm going to start Punch-Out. So,
fuck yeah.
Bring it on, Glass Joe, you fucking piece
Glass
of shit.
Glass Joe, he's such a pussy.
From Paris, France.
You know, I kind of wish that I could enter this game and fucking punch Glass Joe myself.
Well, how does anyone
fist.
Who has a record of 1-99 have any business being a professional boxer?
He doesn't. Like, not even against a guy named Little Mac.
I don't really think this guy should get paid for this fight, to be honest with
I
you.
I think that Little Mac should be called Lil Mac instead. L-I-L apostrophe.
Yeah, I think it's kind of weird that his name's Little Mac, not Lil Mac. It's funny.
Yeah, I mean, he's a white guy. He's no fucking rapper. But
that's true.
Bonk, bonk. Oh,
going down.
I thought you had to punch him in the gut to
Red
knock
Knight
him down.
Going down.
Just, Glass Joe
down,
just goes down,
down
no matter
down.
What. Because
he's a punk
he likes
bitch.
That.
He's a punk he bitch. Likes going down.
Okay, so the first, this new segment, I'm going to call it, Where the Fuck Did That Come From? And I just I don't know what gave me this idea, but it's just really interesting to me how certain phrases or things came about. I always just think it's kind of weird. Like sometimes you'll hear something like the first one we're going to do is an arm and a leg. Like that'll cost you an arm and a leg. Well, who the fuck was the first person to say that? Like why is that a thing? You know?
Yeah, that's really weird.
So the first one we're going to do and talk about is an arm and a leg. The meaning is a large, possibly exorbitant amount of money.
Right.
The origin, and the website I've been going on to find out the meanings of all these is a website called The Phrase Finder, and it has like a search engine of phrases that you can look at. And then if you don't want to search, if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, it has an A to Z list that you can look through. And so the first time I looked at it, I just kind of went through, and the first couple that seemed a little interesting to me is what we went for tonight. Maybe I'll get a little bit more themed with it later on down the road. But to start out, where the fuck did that'll cost you an arm and a leg come from? The origin, according to this website, says it costs an arm and a leg is one of those phrases that rank high in the I know where that comes from stories told at the local pub. Apparently, everybody thinks they know where this came from, but they're wrong. In this case, the tale is that a portrait painter used to charge more for larger paintings, and that a head and shoulders painting was cheaper, followed in price by one that included arms, and finally the top range legs and all portrait. So basically what it's saying is just a shoulder up portrait cost a certain amount. If you added from the waist up, it was this amount. And if it was a full body shot, you painted more. And that was what they would say it cost you an arm and a leg, because only really, really rich people were able
that.
Could afford it.
Huh.
But they said that's bullshit.
So that's not true.
That's what most people think, and I guess apparently that is not true.
That's interesting.
It says that in fact, an American phrase coined sometime after World War II. The earliest citation was found in the Long Beach Independent of December of 1949, and it says, this is a quote from the book or whatever it was, food editor Bailu Carney has more than 10 ideas for the homemaker who wants to say Merry Christmas and not have it cost her an arm and a leg. Arm and leg are used as examples of items that no one would consider selling other than enormous price. It is a grim reality that around that time, there were many U.S. newspaper reports of servicemen who had lost an arm and a leg in the recent war. It is possible the phrase originated in reference to the high cost paid by those who suffered such amputations.
So it's almost kind of like a I give my right nut kind of thing for that. Oh, cool.
And
that's interesting.
but then it goes on to say that more likely the explanation is that the expression derived from two earlier phrases, I would give my right arm for, and also even if it takes a leg, which were both combined in the 19th century. The earliest example that can be found in print was 1849 edition of Sharp's London Journal that wrote, he felt if he could gladly give his right arm to be cut off, it would make him at once old enough to go and earn money instead of Lizzie. It doesn't explain what Lizzie is. I don't know.
Like Thin Lizzie?
I hope so.
Are the boys back in town?
The second phrase is American. An early example of it is given in the heartfelt story from Iowa newspaper, the Burlington Daily Hawkeye, in July of 1875. A man who owes 5 years subscription to the Gazette is trying to stop his paper without paying up, and the editor is going to grab that back pay if it takes a leg.
Whoa, weird. That doesn't even make sense. So this phrase that makes tons of sense now made almost no sense when it was first.
Yeah. Like people just still doesn't really make sense. It'll take a leg.
Yeah, but I mean, like, we understand it, like, colloquially now, but then it was like, I don't understand what you mean by that.
So I almost feel like it just kind of makes sense to say it would cost an arm and a leg because those are two things that you wouldn't want to give up.
Oh, for
you know
sure,
what I mean?
Yeah. Like, they're like the most valuable pieces. Oh, and the award for biggest fucking pussy in this whole game goes to Don Flamenco the first time, who I just fucking knocked out 51 seconds
in the first round. Round one.
So you can go fuck yourself.
KO'd. What a bitch.
Yeah, punk ass bitch.
So yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I have no idea. I wouldn't have thought any of those things. I mean, generally speaking, you understand it because giving an arm and a leg is paying a great price and that you wouldn't want to lose one, if you know, or two of your appendages. So, but I mean, just knowing where it came from, I fucking had no idea.
I think I'm just going to keep spreading the story that it's the whole painting thing.
Yeah.
That sounds better. I'm
going
to dupe people into believing something that's wrong.
I understand why people would believe that, because, I mean, that's the one that makes, you know, the most sense. I don't know. I think it's a good story.
This phrase finder, it does alphabetically, right? And so the first three that I picked, they all start with the word as. So, or with the letter A. So, an arm and a leg. The next one that we're going to do is as easy as pie. Now, I've always kind of wondered about that, because what about pie is easy?
Yeah, making the pie crust is not particularly easy.
And it goes into that in this summary. The meaning of as easy as pie is that it is very easy. There are many similes in English that have the form as X, as Y, as in X is easy and Y is pie. The almost always highlighted property of X and give an example of something that is well known to display the property for Y. For example, as white as snow, as dead as a dodo, which I've never heard before, which is...
It's extinct.
Yeah. Or dead as a doornail. How, though, are pies thought to be easy? They aren't especially easy to make, and I know I've tried, is what it says. The easiness comes with the eating. At least that was the view in the 19th century America where this phrase was coined. There are various mid-19th century U.S. citations that, whilst not using an easy as pie verbatim, do point to pie being used to denote pleasantry and ease. Pie, in this sense, is typically an American thing to say. I don't know. Pie is huge in America, I guess.
Yeah, apple pie, man.
And then it goes on to say, as American as apple pie. In fact. The usage first comes from the phrase "as nice as pie," found in Which Right or Left in 1855. It must have been a book or something. And the quote is, "For nearly a week afterwards, the domestics observed significantly to each other that Miss Isabella was as nice as pie." Also, Mark Twain frequently used just the word pie to mean pleasant or accommodating, especially in The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn in 1884. "You're always as polite as pie to them," or "so he took him to his own house and dressed him up clean and nice, and it was just old pie to him, so to speak." Pie was also used at that time for something that was easy to accomplish. For example, in the U.S. magazine Sporting Life in 1886, "as for stealing second and third, it's like eating pie." Or also, "pie in the sky" is an American phrase around the same time. The earliest example of the actual phrase "as easy as pie" that he could find comes from the Rhode Island newspaper, the Newport Mercury, June 1887, in a comic story about two down and outs in New York. And they wrote it with like a dialect. "You see, vover I goes, I take away mit me a silver spoon or a knife or something, and I gets $2 or $3 for them. It's easy as pie, vey don't you try it." Or "vey don't you try it." So that's fucking weird.
It's easy as pie.
But pie seems to rank right up there with cake in the U.S. lexicon of ease and pleasantry. A piece
of cake. They're like, is it because they're like mushy? Like easy to eat? Because they're just mushy?
No, they say it's easy to eat because it's pleasant. It's pie's delicious. It's as easy as pie. Because
depends on the pie.
It's so fucking delicious that you can eat pie.
Okay, yeah, okay.
So, which is exactly what I would have thought.
Right.
He kind of goes on and on about other shit for that one. But I guess that's what I would have thought with as easy as pie. But and then the last one is, again, starting with the letter A, as happy as a clam. What would your first instinct be to why something would be as happy as a clam?
I don't know, just because I guess clams are easygoing. I mean, they just sit there and don't do anything at the bottom of the ocean. So they're always just happy.
My first thought was always that they're shaped kind of like a smile.
Like yeah, they do kind of look like they're always smiling.
Right. And when you see them drawn or anything, they always have like a big smile on their face.
It's true.
As happy as a clam, meaning very happy and content. The origin. Why would clams be happy? It has been suggested that open clams give the appearance of smiling. The derivation is more likely to come from the fuller version of the phrase, now rarely heard, as happy as a clam at high water. High tide is when clams are free from the attentions of predators, surely the happiest of times in the mollusk world. The phrase originated in the northeastern states in the U.S. in the early 19th century. The earliest citation that he could find was from the Harp's Head, A Legend of Kentucky, in 1833. Quote, "It never occurred to him to be discontented. He was as happy as a clam." The first record that he could find of the happy as a clam in high water was from the Pennsylvania newspaper, The Adams Centennial, in 1844.
Wait, what was the date on the first one?
1833.
Oh, okay.
So
within a few years.
So it's kind of funny. So he basically says that the newer version is the correct one, and the other one was cited before what he even said. It's kind of weird. But the quote was, "Crispin was soon hammering and whistling away as happy as a clam at high water." The expression was well enough known in the U.S. By the late 1840s for it to have been included in the John Russell Bartlett's Dictionary of Americanisms, a glossary of words and phrases usually regarded as particular to the United States in 1848. As happy as a clam at high water is a very common expression in those parts of the coast of New England where clams are found. It was also in 1848, the Southern Literary Messenger from Richmond, Virginia, expressed the opinion that the phrase is similar or is familiar to everyone. So basically, it's familiar to everyone, so that therefore it has been, it's, people use it.
Right.
Like, if it weren't familiar to people, I wouldn't be talking about it.
Sure, obviously, yeah, that'd be kind of pointless.
But yeah, so I would have thought it was just the shape that made it look like a smile, and apparently it's because clams are happiest at high water when the predators won't want to eat them.
Huh, that's interesting. Which is, it's just, that's still, whoever came up with that, that's a really weird way to describe it. Happy as a clam in high water. I mean,
well,
that's,
you
it's just one of those things that, like, you could have said that about, like, a million different things in different situations, but why did that one catch on?
Probably just because people back then, they were like, I don't know if they call them, like, clam fishermen or whatever. They probably just, they used that term a lot because that's what they did, I guess.
I guess, that makes sense.
Which would make sense for you to start talking about clams as something that was happy. It's like, right, the easiest time to catch these is high tide, and that's when they're happy because nothing else is.
Yeah, they're happy until you catch them, and then you fucking boil them up and eat
them. Until the real predator
comes
along.
They're delicious. Okay, quick update on Mike Tyson's Punch Out. We are currently the minor major holder, title holders. I've gone through and won the first two belts. Nobody's gotten out of the first round, and we're back to fighting the same dudes over again. It's Piston Honda 2.
So we are, right now, we are 7-0.
In the world circuit. I think it's really funny. Like, this game is one of my favorite games, and it's really fun to play, but it's, like, most Nintendo games are all really based on sort of, like, a rhythm, and Mike Tyson's Punch-Out is very much like that. It's great. It's got great replay ability, as far as I'm concerned.
We play this, like, almost every other weekend.
Yeah, I've played this game and beat it a million times, and I'm fucking seriously never get bored playing it. It's probably got to be one of my top five favorite video games of all time. I do think it's interesting, though, for how repetitive the game is, why they had to just repeat characters. Like, was it really not enough to, like, just put a different dude in there? And, like I said, we're fighting Piston Honda again. And there's, like, it's just fucking, there's Soda Popinski and Super Macho Man, who are the same character with different hairstyles and different skin tones. Other than that, same fucking guy. And then there's Bald Bull and Sandman, who are the same fucking guy, different haircuts, different skin tones.
I've always just, what we always said when we were kids was, the Don Flamenco trained Glass Joe, the Sandman chained Bald Bull.
Because they fight the same kind of style, yeah.
You know,
but they look the fucking same.
And
that's
Macho,
what I think.
And Macho Man trained Soda Popinski.
But this is what I don't get is those characters. They look, well, with the exception of Glass Joe and
fucking first round again.
With
dude.
The exception of Glass Joe and Don Flamenco, Sandman and Bald Bull and fucking Super Macho Man and Soda Popinski are literally physically identical.
Yeah.
They have similar fighting styles, but they are physically identical. So they already had that template going. Why did they make you fight Piston Honda and Don Flamenco again? Second great question. How did those fucking guys become bigger contenders in a higher division after you beat them?
Because
fucking makes no sense.
They just made two new
guys.
Probably what happened is they just made their rounds just like you do, you know?
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I got to fight Soda Popinski.
Soda Popinski is, like, the best character on this. He is one pink, huge fucking bastard.
With a giant chin and who laughs at you with
and
an
awesome
mustache.
And he's got a big old fucking Fu Manchu mustache.
And he drinks Soda Pop, but somehow gets drunk off of it. I don't really know how that works, but.
I get drunk off my Soda Pop because I always put booze in it. Maybe that's what's happening here.
Yeah.
He's like Soda Pop. Anonymous alcoholic.
Well, and doesn't his soda? And doesn't his soda bottle in the picture have like three X's on it?
Yeah,
like,
I think it does.
So it's clearly not Soda Pop. But I don't think they could call him Buzinski.
And that's why his skin tone is red because he's always drunk.
Because he's trashed. He's fucking shit faced.
He has an allergic reaction to alcohol.
How fucking funny!
I don't think he's even Asian.
No, I think he. No, he's from the Soviet Union, so he's your Asian.
He's not my Asian.
I'll claim him. He can be my Asian.
That's funny.
All right, so let's fucking jam out to another tune while we continue to play Punch-Out, and we'll check back with you with our final segment, Trivia Time, which we've heard through the grapevine is a popular segment with some of you folks out
so,
there.
So, yeah, we're probably and this will be the first time that I play against Cody.
Ooh.
So we'll just see how I do.
We call down the thunder. Well, now you're going to get it.
This why don't you go ahead and introduce this next song, Cody, while I get it
Yes. This is Reasons, Built to Spill. Yeah, check it out. Good jam. Welcome back. That was Reasons, Built to Spill off the There's Nothing Wrong with Love album. Yeah, if you haven't heard enough Built to Spill to want to get into it by now, then sorry that we picked a band you didn't like, but we love them, so sorry about that. All right, it's time for Trivia Time, and in honor of our game playing tonight, we're going to gonna jam out to the Punch Out song in the background.
The training music of Punch Out, where he's got that fat bastard on riding behind him on a bicycle, and you see the cityscape of
New York.
Yeah,
because the Statue of Liberty's at the end.
Oh, right, totally. Yeah.
No Twin Towers, though.
All right. And while Cody asks me this next question, I'm gonna try and play Bald Bull number two.
Okay. What mountain range extends from the Gulf of St. Lawrence to Alabama?
I'm going to lose so bad at fucking trivia, dude.
I hope you don't lose to Bald Bull while you're at it, too.
I have more confidence beating Bald Bull than I do beating you at trivia. I don't even know.
It is the Appalachians. The Appalachians.
I don't know my history very well.
Okay. Well, that was geography.
I know. There's
which
a
is
globe
the funny
right
part.
There.
Entertainment. What were the first names of the Gish sisters?
What? Smashing Pumpkins?
Fuck, dude. Yeah. Darby. What was that her name? The chick? In this
the one that played the bass?
Billy and Darby. yeah, I have no idea about this one either, but sorry. I had to give it to you.
No, I got nothing.
It's
sorry. That's 0-2.
Dorothy and Lillian. Who first called the U.S. flag the Star Spangled Banner? Also wrote the Star Spangled Banner.
I don't know that either. I'm so bad at trivia.
It's Francis Scott Key.
This is why I don't ever play Cody at trivia. Not what? Because he's good, but because I'm bad. And a little bit because he's good.
What imaginary island did Sir Thomas More create in a 1516 work? That's the year 1516. Imaginary island.
I don't even know. Sorry. I got nothing.
It's Utopia. Okay, here you go. Science and nature.
I'll get that one.
What genus and species is man classified as?
Homo sapien?
Yeah, there it is. Boom. Okay. On the board. Fuck
one for
yeah.
six.
Not getting shut out. Sports and leisure. How many strikes make up a perfect 10-pin bowling game? And I was two away from that earlier this year. Three away. I lied.
It's 13?
You want to do over on that one, Mulligan?
12?
Yeah, it's 12.
Why don't? Because I always count three on the 10th.
Yeah.
For some reason.
But yeah, it's 9. But it's,
yeah,
because
there's
and
one.
And
you have to have at least one on the 10th.
Yep.
All right, yeah, 12. I knew that.
Yep, 12. All right, there you go. 2-6. There definitely have been worse outings by people at trivia before.
I think I just lost at Bald Bull, too. TKO'd. And we move back in
harsh
the ranks.
Which is fucking bullshit. I'm glad because I don't have to fight fucking Don Flamenco.
Well, you
if
try
I him,
and fucking
so.
Do trivia and Bald Bull at the same time.
Yeah, well, we'll
oh,
see.
You get to right
get
here.
To.
Yeah, we didn't move back. All right. So 2-6. Let's see what Cody can do. And we just we basically each picked a card out of the Trivial Pursuit.
I don't know how you lost to Bald Bull, dude. This fucking music in the background is pumping me
right
up.
Right down the list. I don't know. I'm going to say dude one more time, dude.
Dude. It's cool, dude.
What country does a true bohemian live in?
Germany?
Czechoslovakia.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Should have known that one.
What bohemian is E? Brewery. Entertainment?
Yeah.
What was the first TV couple to share a bed on primetime television?
It was Ricky and Lucy.
Ozzie and Harriet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Good for them.
What is in the eagle's beak on the Great Sill of the United States?
A snake?
It is a ribbon reading E Pluribus Unum.
I feel like that's the same thing.
We don't know
what the snake is thinking.
A snake thinking E Pluribus Unum. Who even knows what that means?
From many one.
That's stupid. Okay, and this one, this question probably isn't true to this date. But
so I have to know what was true like 30 years ago?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. We could do that.
I had to know the Appalachian Mountains. Because that's not the same now. What's the second biggest selling magazine in America? The second. It doesn't say what's the first. It's the second biggest selling magazine in America.
Oh, first fucking round, bitch!
Nice.
The second best selling magazine in America?
Whenever this Trivia Pursuit came out.
Life? Is it Time?
It's fucking Reader's Digest. I'll bet number one is probably Time. I would bet. Shit. Okay. You.
Which one's this?
This is SN.
Is it green?
Green.
So I have SN. Three left?
You have two left.
You're kidding. Okay.
So you're 0 for 4 right now.
Fucking bullshit.
So what is SNN?
Science and Nature, I think.
Science and Nature. Oh, no. Sports is what it is.
Sports and Leisure is the last one. Green is Science and Nature.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Whatever. Science, right. Who made the first solo round-the-world flight?
Charles Lindbergh?
No. Wiley Post.
Nobody fucking knows that. Well, I don't know that. I guess, I mean, people know that, obviously.
And this is, I'm hoping that you know this one. I don't really know that much about this subject. You might know.
So you're going to give me a card that I get.
You're a sports guy. What heavyweight boxer was known as the Wild Bull of Pampas?
The Wild Bull of Pampas. I really don't know. Muhammad Ali.
Louis Firpo. Or Louis, I don't know. Louis.
Yeah, I don't know. That's awesome. I got fucking 0 for 6. Bitchin'. Obviously my worst showing of Trivia Pursuit so far.
Sorry. And I win.
He picks the fucking... Well, I beat Bald Bull, though, so I feel like it's kind of a push.
That was pretty rough, dude.
Yeah, that was a fucking harsh toke. I feel like I really let myself down on that one. So, sorry, everybody. That's trivia time.
Just reading the questions, I thought definitely you would have gotten more. But that's because I had the fucking answers.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But you never know.
That's cool.
That is the
them's
the harsh toke of the fucking Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, them's the breaks. I can't complain.
So that's what's our next guy up here? Don Flamenco 2.
Number 2.
Now, this is like Cody was saying during the break when we were listening to music, we think it's really funny that Don Flamenco is after the second Bald Bull. And there's no fucking way that this pussy beat Bald Bull to get ahead of him in the ranks. It's not possible. Don't know how this happened.
He's a fucking coos.
And I was saying that I think it's maybe what happened is, if you ever play this game, Don Flamenco 2, he never punches you. You have to hit him like 30 times before he'll throw a punch. And it wears out all of your hearts so that you can't hit him anymore. You turn pink and all sweaty and you can't fight. And maybe he just kept doing that to Bald Bull, and then...
Finally, Bald Bull just got so tired he fell over.
He just fucking took a nap.
That's the only explanation I can think of. It's the only thing that makes sense. Because that guy is a total fucking boss.
He is the fucking worst.
Yeah, and he's annoying, and he sucks to fight. Like, he's just awful all around. But that's... So that's our show. We're... fucking happy that you guys checked in again, and like we said, please write to us on the website or on Facebook. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. If you like it, tell your friends. If you don't like us, let us know, and we'll try to make it better for you next time. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for giving us a listen, and we'll see you guys next time. This last song is another Built to Spill jam, and it is called... What?
Going Against Your Mind?
Going Against Your Mind from You and the You in Reverse album. So give it a listen, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye!
Bye.
trees one night.
Thank you for checking us out. If you made it all the way through that last 8.5 minutes of that awesome Belt to Spill song called Going Against Your Mind, that's pretty awesome of you for sticking around that long. Just finally, before I take off, you can follow us on Twitter at The Place Podcast, or go to our website, thisistheplacepodcast.com, or follow us on Facebook. So just want to go ahead and throw that out there. And thanks for listening. Thank you. Bye-bye.